Hundreds of people flocked to Catlettsburg to cash in on the timber boom. New businesses like tanneries, wagon makers, and sawmills sprang up. All of them were clearly dependent on the rise or fall of the timber trade. Down the road a ways in Pogue Settlement, a Greenup County farmer named Richard Deering made a discovery that would help to realize that area's business and industrial potential. That discovery was iron ore. In the early 1800s, Deering constructed a small, crude furnace on his farm, and he smelted the first iron in the region. This iron filled molds for hammers, skillets, pots, and other necessary homestead items. Thanks to Deering's ingenuity, his neighbors would no longer have to wait on expensive shipments from Virginia and Maryland furnaces to arrive. They could purchase the iron utensils they needed locally. Eventually, though, demand exceeded supply. So Deering struck a partnership with other local business people to create the Argolite Furnace, the first charcoal iron furnace in the area.
These huge old stones, they're all that remain, really, of the old Bellefonte furnace. And once the air in eastern Kentucky was thick with the charcoal smoke from the Bellefonte, the Amanda, the Buena Vista, the Clinton, and the Princess furnaces.
They were close to the iron ore and rocks, which and clay. One of the early ones was the Clinton furnace, which is out, it was crossed up in the holler from where the Rose Hill Baptist Church is. And then they owned Amanda Furnace, which was between here and Russell. And they helped build the Bellefonte Furnace, which is part of it still standing out in Bellefonte. First big business that came into Ashland was the Ashland Coal and Iron Manufacturing Company, AC&I, we knew it. They built a railroad between Ashland and Rush and to haul coal back in here to Ashland for the boats and also the furnaces. In 1867, they built the Ashland Furnace, which was down on 6th in the riverfront. It was considered the largest furnace in the world in the day it was built. And that one was in one end of town. And in 1872, they built the Norton Iron Works. It had a very large furnace, too, and it was on 22nd in the riverfront. AM was the three largest industries. It was in the early days of Ashland.
When the local supply of iron ore and timber began to diminish, the old furnaces made way for those that used coke and coal for fuel. And because of them, Ashland, in subsequent decades, would come to be known as the city where coal meets iron. But at that time, northeastern Kentucky and southern Ohio gained notoriety as the nation's leading iron producers west of the Alleghenies. Pig iron proved to be big business indeed in Pogue Settlement, which was still a part of Greenup County. As the furnaces multiplied, river traffic increased, moving eastern Kentucky iron down the Ohio to other lucrative markets. More and more settlers came to the furnace communities in search of work. More homes were built to house the workers and their families. More retail businesses opened to supply their material needs. Amid such prosperity, both Catlettsburg and Pogue Settlement had shrewd leaders who were planning for the future in many ways. In both communities, local citizens saw education as another means of providing a more promising tomorrow for their children and for the area. Some of the wealthier frontier families had solved the education problem by sending their children to private schools back east. Some hired private tutors. Some did nothing. Because for many local residents, education was a luxury, a low priority when compared with simple survival. But other citizens had an educational vision that, well, it matched the area's industrial ambitions. They knew that education was essential if the communities were to grow and prosper. So in each town, they worked together to expand educational opportunities.
Well, the first public school was was on the corner of 13th and Winchester, where Gibson's Brothers is today. It was a one-room schoolhouse frame. And in 1876, they built a very large two-story brick school on 14th and Carter. And it was known as a Central High School. And then in 1897, they built the monstrosity, which we all call it, of Crab School. It had a large tower on it and a lot of gingerbread work. It was a beautiful school. I went there, and it lasted. It was National High School for years, and until they built the high school up on Lexington Avenue in 1916. Some of the early people came in here and started the Beech Grove Academy. It was a pay school. It wasn't owned by the city. It was more like a pay college. It has operated for several years. Part of them buildings are still standing. The next modern school was Means in 1905, and Wowie and Bayless was in 1910. So that was the starting of our school system.
The school system here, starting back in the late teens and early 20s, we had our population was about between 14,000 and 15,000. And then when Armco came in here, that thing started growing. Well, that meant more children. We built up then until up in the 50s, I guess about the 50s into the 60s, it looked like we just keep growing. And our children's enrollment in Ashland was over 6,000. At that time, something happened in Ashland. They ran out of space, really, to build new homes. And things got so old, they started tearing them down. The automobile had a lot to do with it because they needed filling stations on the corners, and they started tearing things down. As the houses got old, they kept tearing them down. So our enrollment now, here in the 80s, is about two-thirds of that, or over 4,000, whereas we had over 6,000 at the time.